from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo praises the harmony among people in Lampung. Vice President Yusuf Kalla affirmed not all foreign businesses can directly enter Indonesia. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo praised the harmony among religious followers in Lampung province. This shows that Lampung's condition is peaceful and conducive. This was stated by President Joko Widodo in his remarks during a visit to the Darussalam Salafiyah Islamic Boarding School in East Lampung Regency on Friday. He said that the Indonesian people are brothers and sisters across the country Indonesia. Thus, they must keep on maintaining their unity. In the gathering at the Islamic boarding school led by Imam Sibawi, there were representatives of other religions. President Joko Widodo also reminded the democratic festival to be carried out during the election of regional heads and presidential election could strengthen the nation's integrity and unity. Vice President Yusuf Kalla emphasized that not all foreign business sectors could directly enter to invest in Indonesia, because this must be in accordance with the existing laws. The government has reduced the list of foreign business bills on negative investment list, DNI, or known as DNI relaxation. This is a list of business bills that are not permitted for foreign investment. DNI relaxation is an aid facilitating investment licensing into the country. Of the 54 business sectors, 25 of them had been excluded from the DNI, which have increased ownership by foreign capital to 100%. Minister of Trade Enggartiasto Lukita is optimistic that Indonesia can penetrate the Algerian market and other non-traditional markets. He is optimistic that Indonesia can increase bilateral trade significantly if Indonesia can do better to facilitate positive and sustainable involvement among officials and business people from two friendly countries. This was stated by Minister Enggartiasto Lukita in his statement in Jakarta on Friday regarding the implementation of Indonesia-Algeria Business Forum. A number of products such as furniture and home decoration products, instant noodles, palm oil, car tires, and jewelry managed to record a trade value worth $11 million or around 166 billion rupiah. In business matching activities, these products are offered by 13 Indonesian companies to around 250 entrepreneurs who come from Algeria, Jordan, France, Tunisia, Turkey, Senegal, and Ivory Coast. Through a business forum, Minister Enggartiasto calls for Algerian business people to collaborate and increase trade with Indonesian business people. The government speeds the growth of new entrepreneurs up to 4 million people to encourage the strengthening of economic structure. At present, the entrepreneur ratio in the country still reaches around 3.1% of the total population. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto, through his statement in Jakarta on Friday, said that to encourage Indonesia to become a developed country, the government keeps speeding up the entrepreneurial growth, including small and medium industries, while increasing productivity and competitiveness in the digital era. This was affirmed by Minister Erlangga at the National Retail Party at ISBS di Tangerang, Banten. He considers that although the entrepreneurial ratio in Indonesia has exceeded international standard by 2%, Indonesia needs to increase again to pursue the achievements of neighboring countries. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Colombian press organization, the Cristas de Colombia, presented an award as Best Member of Diplomatic Corps in Colombia to Indonesian Ambassador to Colombia, Prio Iswanto, who is considered to be able to enhance the positive perception of Colombian society to the Indonesian government. Director and founder of the Cristas de Colombia organization, Jose Gamis Lopez, on the eve of the celebration of the Cristas de Colombia at the Convention Center Gonzalo Jimenez de Cuasto, Bogota, said that for the first time in 2018, his organization awarded a member of diplomatic corps as evidence that there is a real appreciation of services enhancing and strengthening perception and enhancing Colombian relations with Indonesia in a positive direction. The Indonesian Embassy's press release on Colombia said on Friday that some of the successes achieved by Ambassador Prio Iswanto since taking office in Bogota are the entry of Colombia as a member of Council of World Palm Oil Producing Countries in 2018, improved perception of the Colombian people towards Indonesia and vice versa. Increasing relations between citizens are reflected in the increasing number of issued by both tourist students and scholarship recipients between the two countries. West Nusa Tenggara Provincial Government, NTB, continues to establish cooperation with foreign airlines to open international direct flight routes to Lombok. Governor of NTB, Zulkifli Mansyah, said in Mataram, NTB on Friday that one of the plans to open direct flight routes being discussed is direct flight routes from Guangzhou, China to Lombok. He also explained that the tourist market from China is one of the promising market segments. Good economic growth in China encourages many of its citizens to look for various tourist destinations outside China. Governor Zulkifli Mansyah also remarked that the NTB provincial government is trying to host well by preparing infrastructure to welcome foreign tourists. The last item, the Agriculture Ministry through the Agriculture Quarantine Agency guarantees that Indonesia is free from Escherichia coli or E. coli bacteria found in romaine lettuce as it is currently endemic in the United States and Canada. Head of the Agriculture Guarantee Agency, Banun Harpini, stated that as a precautionary measure, his site has guaranteed that the romaine lettuce varieties have not yet entered Indonesia. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Banun in Jakarta on Friday has instructed all levels of guarantee to tighten supervision. If this commodity is recognized, immediate action will be taken. As reported by United States Outbreak and Prevention Control Agency's official Twitter account, this outbreak has claimed the lives up to 50 people and individuals are urged not to consume this lettuce in any form until they learn more about this problem. The government has taken precautionary measures and maintained the possibility of the entry of this type of vegetable originating from any country that was hit by the outbreak. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listeners, welcome back to Today in History. The first information is about the birth of Indonesian statesman and politician, Ruslan Abdul Ghani, on November 24, 1914. Ruslan Abdul Ghani, who was born in Surabaya, East Java, was an Indonesian statesman and politician. He was involved in a number of battles when the Allied troops landed in Surabaya. After Suharto superseded Sukarno as the Indonesian president, Ruslan was appointed as the Indonesian ambassador to the United Nations in the period of 1967 up to 1971 and chairman of the presidential advisor on Pancasila for 20 years since 1978. He also received the honorary title from the Indonesian National Military as a four-star general, namely Bintang Mahaputra Award. Ruslan Abdul Ghani passed away in Jakarta on 29 June 2005 due to heart attack. Let's continue to the next event on 24th of November 1963. Suspected murderer of President John F. Kennedy, Lee Harvey Oswald, was shot dead by Jack Ruby in Dallas, Texas. Lee Harvey Oswald was the suspected murderer of the U.S. President John F. Kennedy. 2 days post Kennedy's death, Lee Harvey Oswald was shot dead by a nightclub owner named Jack Ruby during a live TV program. Lee Harvey Oswald, who was a former U.S. Marine, was relocated from the headquarters of the U.S. policy to a county jail. The process of his relocation was broadcast by the U.S. TV station. However, unexpectedly, a man named Jack Ruby came up and shot Oswald at a close range. The last information is about Joseph Désiré Mobutu being the president of Zaire or Congo. On November the 24th, 1965, Joseph Désiré Mobutu became the superior leader of the Democratic Republic of Congo after a coup attempt in the country. He became the president of Congo for nearly 30 years. In 1956, he plotted a coup attempt against the nationalist government of Patrice Lumumba and declared himself as a staff of the Congolese Armed Forces. In 1965, Mobutu plotted another coup attempt against President Kavazubu. The coup attempt was carried out because Mobutu was not pleased upon hearing the tension between President Kasavubu and Prime Minister Moise Tshombe. Mobutu then declared himself as the leader Congo for the next. The coup attempt was carried out because Mobutu was not pleased upon hearing the tension between President Kasavubu and Prime Minister Moise Tshombe. Mobutu then declared himself as the leader Congo for the next 5 years. On May 19, 1997, the Tutsi rebel movement and the anti-Mobutu opened joint to establish the Democratic Liberation Movement of Congo and Zaire. This coalition successfully took control of the Crescenta, changed into Congo or the Democratic Republic of Togo Mobutu in 1997. The name Zaire was changed into Congo or the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mobutu took review in Togo. After that, he lived in Morocco. In the same year, namely 1997, Mobutu died of prostate cancer.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today's topic is about Indonesian women support Ministry of Environment and Forestry to cultivate environmental insights. Directorate General of Waste Management and Hazardous and Toxic Materials, or B3, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Nofrizal Tahar, revealed
the data from Central Statistics Agency, BPS 2017, stated that there were around 69.6 million very productive women of 15 to 49 years old in Indonesia. These very productive women support the Indonesian economy in various sectors, so that women are often a benchmark for the progress of community. The more women move for good, the community environment will be better. This was stated by Nofrizal Tahar in a discussion about the role of women in protecting the environment around them in Jakarta on Saturday, November 17. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry invited a number of women communities to discuss the role of women in protecting the environment around them. The event, with the theme Women, Culture, Digitalization and the Environment, was aimed to initiate women on the importance to know details of the digital world and use the technology in order to be more beneficial to the environment. Nofrizal Tahar said, "Every Indonesian citizen has the same right to life, even the right to have clean environment." He also said, "All of the rights are guaranteed by the state, but as time goes by, the country needs to develop economy and industry. Unfortunately, the industry overlooks the meaning of protecting the environment. Indonesia will have a future if people start to do green industries, and Indonesia has begun to carry out such environmentally friendly industrial movements. Indonesia, with a pluralistic culture, has the aspiration to become a developed country by 2050. Therefore, Indonesia needs to harmonize its ideology and culture." That was today's My Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo praised the harmony among religious followers in Lampung province. This shows that Lampung condition is peaceful and conducive. This was stated by President Joko Widodo in his remarks during a visit to Darussalam Salafiyah Islamic Boarding School in his Lampung Regency on Friday. Vice President Yusuf Kalla emphasized that not all foreign business sectors could directly enter to invest in Indonesia, because this must be in accordance with the existing laws. Minister of Trade Enggartia Stolokita is optimistic that Indonesia can penetrate the Algerian market and other non-traditional markets. He is optimistic that Indonesia can increase bilateral trade significantly if Indonesia can do better to facilitate positive and sustainable involvement among official and business people from two friendly countries. The government speed up the growth of new entrepreneurs up to 4 million people to encourage the strengthening of economic structure. At present, the entrepreneur ratio in the country still reaches around 3.1% of the total population. The Colombian press organization, the Gestas de Colombia, presented an award as Best Member of Diplomatic Corps in Colombia to Indonesia Ambassador to Colombia, Prio Iswanto, who is considered to be able to enhance the positive perception of Colombian society to the Indonesian government. West Nusa Tenggara Province Government NTB continues to establish cooperation with foreign airlines to open international direct flight routes to Lombok. Governor of NTB, Zulkifli Mansyah, said in Mataram NTB on Friday that one of the plans to open direct flight routes being discussed is direct flight routes from Guangzhou, China to Lombok. The Agriculture Ministry, through the Agricultural Quarantine Agency, guarantees that Indonesia is free from Escherichia coli, E. coli bacteria found in romaine lettuce, as it is currently endemic in the United States and Canada. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's season, we will invite you to Maluku to enjoy delicious Sibu-Sibu coffee. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, on www.voinews.id. Listeners, besides having the beauty of nature, Indonesia is also popular with its coffee. Almost all regions have specific type of coffees with distinctive aroma. One of them is from Maluku. Although Maluku is not main coffee producer, it has also typical coffee. In addition, Maluku people, especially Ambon, are well known with strong drinkers of traditional coffee. Usually, they drink coffee at coffee stall while telling on their activities. Maluku typical coffee is called Sibu-Sibu. Listeners, Sibu-Sibu is from Maluku language meaning breezy. While in Ambonese Malay language, Sibu-Sibu coffee stall is called Hail Buang Lanshik, that means home to release vertigo. Because Maluku people have coffee drinking tradition, so in Maluku there are a lot of coffee houses. The Sibu-Sibu coffee is usually made from Robusta coffee and refined traditionally so that its original aroma does not disappear. Listeners, in its uniqueness, when coffee serving time, Sibu-Sibu coffee is served and different from other kinds of coffee in general. A cup of Sibu-Sibu coffee is served by adding grated ketapang seeds and mixed with clove powder and also lemongrass. The coffee can be also added with strong and spicy gingers, spread with almond and condensed sweetener. So when being drunk, the coffee's aroma will be smelled, which is strong and special, that probably you never tasted. Drinking a cup of Sibu-Sibu coffee is more enjoyable by eating Ambonese typical snack like kasbi snack, which is made from pounded cassava with palm sugar and wrapped with coconut leaf. There are also koyabu, Bruder Sagure cake and also pulut siram or glutinous rice that is placed with palm sugar. Other typical snacks are walnut brownies, popor cheese and Ambonese pancake that is influenced by Portuguese and the Netherlands when they controlled the area in the 15th until 17th century. Listeners, drinking coffee at stall or house coffee will make visitors feel the Ambonese atmosphere. Beginning from entering the door, you will be welcomed by jojaro-jojaro or waitresses who wear sili, Maluku traditional clothes. And the coffee house visitors can be relaxed while drinking Sibu-Sibu coffee that is believed to be able to give relief and also to recover body's condition, that is fatigue after working whole day. Listeners, if you are in Maluku, please do not forget to taste Sibu-Sibu coffee. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, technology and environment, also lifestyle. This edition presents the topic of Eco Fashion Week Indonesia. Stay tuned in to Voice of Indonesia through streaming audio at www.voinews.id or the RRI Play application. For the first time, Eco Fashion Week Indonesia will be held in Indonesia from November the 13th to December the 2nd, 2018 at the Stovia Building, Jakarta. This event is organized by the Directorate General for the Development of Disadvantaged Areas, the Ministry of Villages, Development of Disadvantaged Areas and Transmigration in collaboration with renowned Indonesian designers. Director General of the Ministry, Samsul Widodo, through a press release received by Antara in Jakarta some time ago, stated that this is a visualization of an environmentally friendly fashion concept by elevating Indonesian native culture in textile manufacturing. According to Samsul, the Eco Fashion Week Indonesia is held to enrich community fashion references with ethnical works made directly by people in disadvantaged areas such as Alor Thai weaving and Roten Daur Thai weaving. This event is a manifestation of the development approach in underdeveloped regions as a whole, namely touching the aspects of art and culture for development. Appreciation of local art and culture from disadvantaged areas will make weavers feel their work is appreciated and valued very well. It will also be a motivation to continue to preserve local culture through the weaving. A total of 30 national and international designers involved will apply renewable concepts by upcycling, recycling, or using organic and natural ingredients that leave no carbon footprint. Meanwhile, Merdisi Hombing explained, Eco Fashion Week Indonesia is a milestone in the long journey that Indonesia needs to take in implementing the slow fashion concept. The concept displays environmentally friendly artwork. The utilization of local potential combined with natural coloring that is environmentally friendly is believed to be able to produce high artistic value. According to him, the making of traditional fabrics and clothing that are passed down from generation to generation will be combined with natural coloring techniques. The technique is carried out by utilizing local raw materials such as the recycling of seaweed waste in Rote Ika textile, natural dyes, and recycling of squid waste and sea cucumber into natural alor textile dyes. Merdi added that the application of the slow fashion concept is also an effort to preserve the cultural heritage of Indonesian textiles and open employment opportunities in areas that will ultimately improve the regional economy. He believes Eco Fashion Week Indonesia will open the eyes of the people of Indonesia and the world to the riches of Indonesian culture and the enormous potential to become a country with the largest low fashion industry in the world. In addition, Eco Fashion Week Indonesia also aims to enrich the public fashion reference through ethical works made directly by people in disadvantaged areas such as alor ikat weaving and rotendao tie weaving. Eco Fashion Week Indonesia is the first and largest fashion movement in Indonesia held to celebrate the grace of earth and humans and to protect and save the earth. Eco Fashion Week Indonesia was held for the first time in 2018. The movement was founded by three founders, namely Merdi Sihombing, Mira Surario, and Rita M. Darwis. Well, that was Miss Leni. Today we'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Leni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you Terry. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Butiran Debu. Stay with us at www.voinews.id or frequency 33325 kHz.
Cinta, ketika kita bersama berbagi rasa untuk selamanya. Namaku cinta, ketika kita bersama berbagi rasa sepanjang usia. Hingga tiba saatnya aku pun melihat cintaku yang khianat, cintaku berkhianat. Aku terjatuh dan tak bisa bangkit lagi. Aku tenggelam dalam lautan luka dalam. Aku tersesat dan tak tahu arah jalan pulang. Aku tanpamu butiran debu. Bersama berbagi rasa untuk selamanya. Namaku cinta, ketika kita bersama berbagi rasa sepanjang usia. Hingga tiba saatnya aku pun melihat cintaku yang khianat, cintaku berkhianat. Oh, 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 oh. Menepi, menepilah, menjauh. Antara aku tenggelam dalam lautan luka dalam. Aku tersesat dan tak tahu arah jalan pulang. Aku tanpamu butiran debu. Butiran debu. Butiran debu.
You've just listened to the first song entitled Butiran Debu, sung by Teriana Fatia Shahab, or well-known Terry. The song describes destroying feeling because her love is betrayed. Her feeling in love with has exited so far changed to be sad. The song is rumor song which was quite popular in 2011. A year later, Terry tried to re-sing with different arrangement and her typical style. The Indonesian female singer is a descent of the Dutch, Arab and Minangkabau or West Sumatra. With her ability and strong vocal, Terry becomes one of the singers who is regarded great in Indonesian music industry. Listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Janji Manismu.
Apakah ini suatu pembalasan? Ku sadar kebesaranmu Tuhan. Aku bagai seorang kembara jalanan, terombang ambing di lautan gelora, mencari kebahagiaan dan untuk menopang kasih. Mungkinkah suratan hidupkan selalu sendirian? Hati membeku mengingatkan kata janji manismu.
Hati membeku mengingatkan
Listeners, you are still tuned to The Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Terry. Janji Manismu was sung by Terry is her first album in 2006 and became hit song of the album. Earlier, the song was popularized by Aisyah, a Malaysian singer. The song skyrocketed Terry's name in Indonesian music industry. The song tells about someone who is hurt because her lover has broken his sweet promise and gone. It just remains to be hurt and sad. Collaboration with strong vocal and beautiful arrangement makes the song easy listening. Well, listeners, that was our segment Music Corner by featuring Terry. To conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Kaulah Segalanya, a song which was popularized by Ruth Sahanaya, followed by Kemesraan. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Hanya kau seorang.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR.
Today's sound.
Suatu hari dikala kita duduk di tepi pantai dan memandang ombak di lautan yang kian menepi, burung camar terbang bermain di derunya air. Suara alam ini hangatkan jiwa kita.
Sementara sinar surya perlahan mulai tenggelam, suara gitarmu mengalunkan melodi tentang cinta. Pada hati membara erat bersatu, getar seluruh jiwa tercurah saat itu.
Kemesraan ini janganlah cepat berlalu.
Kemesraan ini
bagianku. Tapi saat ku luka, kau lari menghilang. Ternyata tak ada yang namanya sahabat. Dari tak bisa, bisa terima semua hanyalah sekedar sahabat, tapi bukan dalam arti yang sesungguhnya, sesungguhnya. Air mataku terjatuh.
Kita bersama berbagi rasa untuk selamanya. Namaku cinta ketika kita bersama berbagi rasa sepanjang usia hingga tiba saatnya aku pun cintaku yang khianat, cintaku berkhianat. Aku terjatuh dan tak bisa bangkit lagi.
aku tenggelam dalam lautan luka dalam. Aku tersesat dan tak tahu arah jalan pulang. Aku tanpamu butiran debu. Bersama berbagi rasa untuk selamanya. Namaku cinta ketika kita bersama berbagi rasa sepanjang usia hingga tiba saatnya aku pun melihat cintaku yang hianat, cintaku berkhianat. Oh,
thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.